Thank you so far. Well, first, I'm glad to be here with Reinhold, who is the computer scientist in our group. I'm a material scientist, and the fact that I started my education as a cameraman for television led to this kind of crossing over of these two activities. So what we are talking today is science visualization, how we understand. So what do we understand under science visualization? It is making visible natural phenomena which cannot be seen directly by human beings because they are too little, they are too big, they are too quick, they are too slow, or they are outside the range of the light waves which can be seen. So today now I could give you many of examples for each of these areas, but that would be too long. So I just want to give you one short example out of a television film about some phenomena which are too quick to be seen directly, so you need special slow motion, several thousand frames per second to make things visible. In addition to normal visualization, if you do it for prime time documentaries and television, you have to pack the thing in a story so that you can sell it and that people do not change the channel. So I start with one example, telling some stories which are too quick out of the animal area. Sound doesn't work.
So just laptop is quite new, so it's not set up correctly.
Big arowana can jump 2 meters. for the most accurate fish goes to the archer fish, which also takes prey from above the surface. It can jump, but it has a much more efficient way of feeding. It can spit with deadly accuracy and hit an insect nearly 2 meters away with enough force to knock it off its perch.
Okay, so just a short introduction, and I want to jump into our specialties, which is the micro world. And starting with how we came to this kind of how we came to this. So what you see here is one of the most interesting churches in Vienna from the you see here is a church in Vienna, which at the beginning of the last century, and it's a very famous one. And one of our scientific fields in material science is the corrosion of copper. So copper builds up the so-called green patina. If you go to Princeton in the campus, you can see a lot of objects with this wonderful green patina. This green patina is the best shelter against further corrosion on the one side. On the other side, it gives a special aesthetic view. So but you have to remove corroded copper plates now and then you have some grayish, brownish plates there, which really look ugly. So what the mayor of Vienna wanted, he wanted to have this part beneath, under the golden copper, replaced by artificially patinated plates. So the question was, how can we get to this patination, which normally takes time of about 15 to 20 years? So we had to study the corrosion compounds of copper first, which comes up to some basic sulfate salts. But it was not only the chemical composition and finding out the chemical reaction. It was also the morphology of these compounds, because it is not the same if it's very well crystallized in big crystals or if it's more or less amorphous. And with flat crystals, it gives a complete different appearance. So what we did is now we studied in the scanning electron microscope the different possibilities of building up these patination layer. There are two different types. So what you see now, you must take into account. It took 500 days to make one of these sequences. What we did is single frame of a selected area of a copper plate. Then it was taken into an artificial weathering chamber. It was for 8 hours weathered with SO2 and NOx, because these two ingredients of the air build up the patina. Afterwards, next day, the next picture. Now 25 pictures, stills, build up 1 second of film. So this is a 20-second. These are 20-second sequences. That means it's 500 days work. So over 1.5 years. And when you put it together, and with help of computer, you know that better than I do, you can put it together to a real film. So there are two principal possibilities that the morphology is built up. If it is on parts where you have a very thin liquid of water, film of water, and a more gaseous approach, there are big crystals that are built up in a more or less flat way. So you see this here. So that takes place. This is the result of 1.5 years looking at the morphology of building up. Why did we do that? Because the morphology of the compound, of the green crystals, gives a different appearance, as I said before. This gives a very, very deep green appearance if you take this kind of corrosion. If you make it out of a more or less solution, then you get this kind of appearance of crystallization, which gives a much more velvet-like appearance. On the other hand, this kind of crystallization means that dust particles, heavy metal materials, and so on, are stuck to the surface, and in a very short time it's completely dirty and it's very hard to move it away. So we had to find circumstances to find something in between, where we have a velvet-like appearance, optical appearance, and on the other hand, not too much dust being kept. Now, that was the beginning, because in the same time we just started to make some primetime television documentaries, And so we packed it into a short film passage, and also using immediately, we had the first ESM, environmental scanning electron microscope, in Austria. So. So there is no sense of showing this. So we move immediately to the other things, I would say.
Okay, just a moment.
Yeah.
Because I guess there's no... there's no... No...
What is it? Jetzt geht das?
Nein.
Jetzt geht es oder was?
Ah, wir haben nicht mehr. Das war nicht mehr abgesteckt.
Ja. Das ist Karton.
Das ist das.
Ja.
Ich habe es nicht festgemacht.
So,
okay, now I will take over. And I will talk about how do we get these images. So, first of all, my name, you got it, is Reinhold Fragner, and I studied communication engineering and theoretic physics. I also, from the childhood, I'm into computer graphics, and I did 3D animations for a long time, and that's why I'm founding a visual effects company in 2009. More and more I'm just creating images from scientific data, and this I'm teaching now since 2009. So what I'm doing? I'm just doing visual effects for movies, for advertising, and for documentaries. But for that, we have to develop shaders or algorithm to import data from whatever we are doing. And so we are just programming small programs or additional programs for the normal commercial 3D packages. To handle these data, we have to import this data. One example is data from microscopic scans, like SEMS, scanning electron microscopes. We have to create a way how to handle this mass of data. So one example I will show you soon. But first, why do we need these computer graphics on microscopic pictures? What's the advantage to import this data and not just to show it? The advantage is that we can add animations, that we can create movements based on data, but it's hard to get animations and moving data from directly from the microscope. Then you can of course create more a human style of viewing. The microscope has a very long vocal length, of course, but when we recreate these models, we can put normal cameras with normal vocal lengths. Even we can put in wide-angle cameras, so we can we are free with the style of the viewing. And of course, we can add more details and more information on the pictures, for example, colors or lighting, for example. And the most advantage is to combine different data for the model. So what we did for a termite, we used three different data sources. We used computed tomography. We used some pictures for light microscopy, and we used data from the SAM, also from the scanning electron microscope. The rough data for the geometry we get from a computer tomography, and you see the one slice in the right showing, it's a termite near the body, and you can recreate details about 5 micrometers, but for a fly through the termite, it's less, of course. Then we use data from the light microscopy. You see there's a bit more of details in there, and we also use SAM details for the very fine structure that show details up to 50 nanometers and less. So then the point is how to combine these data. First, we create the 3D model of the scanning of the computer tomography. Then you get this rough view of the inner termite, but this base mesh has also 5 million vertices, so it's also a very huge object. So the next step is to add more and more and more and more details, and when we tried that, you can't get really into one object. So the idea was to read these data during the whole render process. So we have this base object with 5 million polygons or vertices, which is for a normal computer easy to handle. And during the whole render process, we're just using only the data what we need for just a single images. So now it's with a normal computer, it's handleable. Yeah, and what I said before, when you re-render and create a model and re-render the whole object, you can add lighting and enhance the detail. The three images there are just showing normal maps and different detail maps, and that all together will look like that.
Das
So das eine ist ohne Struktur und das andere ist mit Struktur. Das erste ohne Struktur, das zweite von Fischen.
So, okay, so, that's just using computer tomography. Just details down to 50 micrometers. It says even no sensor. So you can see the hull and the inner termite. Now we are going into the mouth.
But you see there is no structure because the resolution of the computer tomography is far too little to show any detailed structures.
It's a fake shader on it, so you have to imagine of a bit structure, but it's not based on data. It's just to break up this completely soft
so it looks like a plastic tube. But in reality, it's quite different, as you will see afterwards.
So this version is just using the tomography and just adding some details. So you see muscles, and now we are in the inner termite, flying through the termite, and there you can see a lot of details. It's just the structure down to 50 nanometers. We even can go with much more details, but that's for the next step.
So you see, that is the original structure, it's not a model. It is really as it looks like in the scanning electron microscope, and it has been placed into this object. And the next step will be that there is a symbiosis between protozoans and the termite inside, and they digest the wood. And this one kind of opening, you know, is moving like this. So the last step will be to add 3D animation for all the movements. So the whole animal is about 2.5 meter long and 2.5 millimeter long, 0.5 millimeter width, and the intestine is about like a human hair. So what you see here, we go through this. Very long thing. This was a cooperation with biologists, of course, with experts on this field. And this is produced for a discovery program about termites. So it's a hell of a work, and it lasts months, and it will take about not even 1 minute at the end.
So, but the key in that is that when you use different data from big values from CT, from SAM and light microscope, you can generate extreme detailed and huge object. And the problem is just to handle this data and to sort this data that they fit. So when you, that's just a work in progress, what Alfred said. And I can show you. Normally you shouldn't do that, but I show you one problem area. You see a bit problem because the projection of this area doesn't work perfect. So we are using a projection methods to get these fine details to it. And when we don't have a good angle, then we get this artifacts. That's the problem. But in the first step we're just painting over painting that. But all other stuff is just projected, so it's really there.
Could this have been done in color
You have to color it. No, you have to. I mean, if you want colors, you have to to invent colors.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, according to, because this you cannot see with any light microscope, of course, because it's in the range of micro to nanometers. So that is the problem, you know. I mean, you can create colors, yeah, and color it, but that looks very synthetic, you know. That is the problem. But it's done, of course. Yes.
And this scale, you don't have color, because the wavelength of the color of,
yeah,
of the light is
much,
is much too big.
Big,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So I mean, what the point is that these kind of animations we do, we use real structures. That means we do not invent anything, and perhaps, as unfortunately the other things did not work, we have to end up with a little story about a virus. There is also sound, but it's the original sound of the Apollo 11 landing on the moon, so if you don't hear it, you have to imagine it anyway. And this story has been done very, very often because the so-called fake T4, a little virus, in the nanometer range, 100 nanometer grade, so that is, 0.1 micrometer, it's incredible, has been modeled several times, and the structure has been invented. And this is the first time we went. The base was an original still scanning electron microscope, still of this kind of virus, and Reinhold put the structure on it, and the whole story means that it's an attack of a virus on a coli bacteria. And this is how it would look like if you look at it. And it is a production of a thing we plan for next year. It's a 3D stereoscopic cinema movie about Planet Human, where we show the human being as a planet with hundreds of trillions inhabitants, which is all in the micro world. So perhaps we can show this in 2D, and for those who are interested can come up and look through a glass and see it in stereoscopic 3D.
So, yeah. Before I start,
only one by one, unfortunately. Because
so, before I start, thank you for your attention. And, yeah, if you have any question, we are, of course, open to answer them. But now the T4.
It has been needed off. We have to find it. Yeah. So what you see here is an original scanning electron microscope picture. You see this length is 100 nanometers.
Ignition
open.
Sequence start. Yeah. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Down, go to hell. Pick up.
So this is also in 3D stereoscopic. Good. So.
Any questions?
Yeah. No questions. Sorry that half of the thing didn't work. Incredible. Okay.
Thank you very much.
The animation is completely free, of course, but the structures of the bacterium and of the virus is really original, and that is the point, you know.
So there are several problems to take a movie from this scale, because one picture, one scan takes about an hour, so, and even viruses and so are dead in this microscope, so you can't take the movements, but you can take the data from movements from anywhere else. So and then combining that, have done.
Well, this is a new development of the company FEI. Bought up from Philips, so it's a scanning electron microscope that has a resolution beyond nanometers, which is really extraordinary, costs millions of dollars, and there are only few of these kind of microscopes in the world, two of them with CIA. I don't know what they need it for, but they have it. So there is no approach normally. So this photo was given to us from the center in Eindhoven to use it for this program, because it's really a specialty. It's completely different to 10 pictures, that exists since many, many years, but not for the surface structure. So this is really something outstanding.
Okay, then.
Okay, that's it.
If you want to see it in stereoscopic, just come over.
Should not work.
I mean,
experience.
I got a white head, so hopefully
it's okay.